Broadcasting from Hollywood, California, it's Grant's Rants, Hollywood Talk.
The Simpsons break TV records. Is Lindsay Lohan a genius or foolish sporting that new accent? And will Mariah Carey's reality show ever make it to air? I fill you in on what went down with BitChat, and there's a lot of Hollywood talk with Allison DelFranco right here. Let the ranting begin. I am joined by a long-term friend of mine, all the way from New York City. It's filmmaker Allison DelFranco.
Hello.
Hey, Allie. Thanks for coming on.
Hi, Grant. How's it going?
Good. Oh, it's been a long weekend.
Oh my God.
It's been kind of a rough morning, but
We're still going.
We're prepared to have a really good show. Now, look, Allie and I went to school together at Chapman University in the OC, and she's one of my very first friends here in California in general, because we instantly hit it off because we're both hustlers. You know what I mean? We both are always working on the next thing, so we connected over projects, of course, work.
And we both had East Coast accents.
Yes.
Which is going to tie into our show later, right?
Of course, yes. So we had a great time in college, and we just stayed in touch.
Yeah. I remember, Grant, when you were singing Ludacris in my purple car.
Oh.
You were quite the rapper.
I'm not surprised. I don't remember that, but I'm not surprised that I was doing that.
Oh, my God. Don't worry. I have it on video somewhere.
You do.
I'll remind you sometime.
Oh,
I do.
Lord.
I definitely do.
Oh, my God. Well, I don't know if Allie knows or not, but I'm coming over next month. I'll be in New York.
Oh, yeah. It is in my calendar.
I cannot
wait. I got you.
All right, cool. Yeah, I can't wait to get into the city. It's so overdue for me. I mean, I haven't been there since last Christmas, and it's just something I love. And I know you equally love New York, so we have so much to connect over.
Yeah, I'm excited. It's actually really warm here right now. But don't worry, it'll be freezing probably by the time you get here.
See, I am.
I know.
<about that.
laughs> I know you love the sun.
Yeah, let's talk about a few things. But first, I want to address BitChat on the show because people have been listening to the show. Some of you followed me over to the BitChat app, and I thank you for that. Last episode where I left off with Fern Renee on the show, we went to the studio and there was no one there, and we were told that basically that no one could help us, that we couldn't get the show done. So of course, you know, I love that. And so I got to the bottom of as much as I could. So the timeline of BitChat has always been a mystery to me. I went for an audition in February, March, basically. Went with the one sheet. Was nervous because I was like, oh my God, they're going to pick up this show. Mm-hmm. And I realized I didn't have anything to be nervous about because everyone was just pitching their own little ideas and there was really no format. Like, I had a built-in audience. We had a format. We had a show.
Yeah.
We had an
actual. You were prepared.
Yeah. So it's funny to think I was, like, nervous in the beginning, but it shows, like, whatever, never be nervous because you never know what the next person has, which is usually not much. So I heard nothing for so long after that. They were supposed to launch in summer of 2016. They launched in September. And it was just kind of like, I don't know. Like, I would send emails into like the great abyss.
Yeah.
You know, I would send like, I would be 4 emails deep of follow-up emails. And then I would get a response.
Really?
Yeah. And all along I'm getting emails like, we need you to send in promos. We need you to send in a quick promo and memorize this. And of course, so I did it. And I went out, and my friend Mike, God bless him, he helped me DP some things, and we did promos. I used my Christy Olsen, who's been on the show many times. I used her lav mic, so it was really much like a team effort. So we went out and reshot. You know, when you're working, and Allie knows this, when you're working on something for yourself, you don't half-ass it. You know,
No way.
You make it so much more than you would, I feel like, even for
someone
else.
You don't sleep.
Exactly.
You pour everything into it, and you don't care like how much time it takes, how much like money you spend. Oh my God.
I literally would sit at this table and work until I fell asleep, and you know, I would go out and like watch everything to be perfect because it's your own thing, you know.
Yeah.
It's your baby. Yeah. So I was like, you know, if I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this right. So it was just a lot. It was a lot of work, but this is all while I was moving and starting a new job, and so it was just like a lot. But it all got done. And I was really happy with how it looked. And in October, Christy Olsen and I did our first show, and I got to premiere the opening titles that I shot and all the stuff, and it was
looks good. Good too. Thanks. Oh my god, it looked so professional.
Thank you. I mean, it was mm-hmm. what I wanted to do, but I didn't know that we were gonna have like a green screen in that studio, so it looks like we're like in some like a turquoise spaceship. But I'm like, okay, that's fine. I'm not hating on anyone. Like that, I appreciated it. Like they let us come in and use the studio space, and I was happy with that. But I had so many ideas, and that was going to be all that background was going to be like the Hollywood sign, and I had all these video segments that we were going to slowly integrate until, you know, everyone on the BidChat side and on our side, that we were both in simpatico and comfortable with being able to refer to extra clips and photos and stuff like that. So I had a lot of plans for that.
Oh, you had a lot of like visual plans too.
Yes. A lot. I mean, there's unlimited. You know, I do the Sherry Shepherd Award on this show. I do all types of little segments that I have many big plans to expand all that. So now, you know, we're kind of I've been at the drawing board recently, back at it, trying to figure out what I can do. I've been running some tests on YouTube, and I've been doing a lot of research and reaching out to a lot of successful podcasters and asking them, you know, how do you feel about a live element? Like, is it worth it? And basically, at the end of the day, for me to do the Grants Rants live, it would be a couple $100, but it would basically only be like the most loyal listeners.
Per episode?
No, well, all at once. Or if I went to space. I looked into this. I looked into going to a specific little space, and it was $99 for an hour of studio time. And you know, I'm on an assistant salary here. This show isn't exactly lucrative, so I'm doing what
I can
do.
You're an artist.
Yes. So I'm doing what I can do, and I'm thinking that, you know, ultimately after all the research I've conducted, that I'm going to keep the show as is, but I'm always going to be working and sending emails, so you never know what's going to come up. I just want the show to be innovative and fresh, specifically for me, because, you know, it's been like 40 episodes now, great, and I really want to be able to continue to progress and go in a different direction and be smart
about it. And make it as professional as possible. Exactly. Get the attention of, like as higher up people as you can.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I mean, BidChat is still around. There's a lot of people on there eating, talking, watching TV. So it's a little sad in a way that I couldn't get my show to really work over there, and I really tried.
It's a lot of freaking effort.
I really tried, and money. You know, it's kind of like, you know, it is what it is, and where the show continues, obviously it's not going anywhere, but it's just, you know, like a little frustrating. But on to the next thing.
It is frustrating. You know what's a good analogy? My mom gave me this. Pretend you're a monkey. And this actually sounds ridiculous when I say it out loud. You swing through trees, and sometimes monkeys fall, right? Because it's not always a perfect swing. You're the type of person who climbs back up from the tree, and you keep going. So things like that, I just look at all the little bumps as you fall down from the tree, and then you get your ass back up.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, I can honestly say at the end of the day, you know, I did everything I could to make that relationship work. So
it's, and like, you know, what you were saying, it's not anybody's fault. Sometimes it's just like an inefficient process. People aren't organized.
Yeah,
it's, you know, I think you gotta do what you make out of it, and you learn from an experience. Right. Like, I did my first freelance project. I directed a Kickstarter video, and you just gotta like work with what you have, and it's a lot of things being thrown at you and working with different people, and it's, some things are just out of your control.
Right. And you know, the more research I've conducted, the more I've learned that these startup new media companies don't exactly have built-in advertising or a built-in monetization element. Almost all of them don't make it. I'm not saying anything about BidChat.
It's so true.
They're very new, but it's not uncommon that things are rocky. I mean, they're definitely a startup, and they would admit that themselves, you know? So it's not uncommon, but I'm coming at it like I was ready to go out the gate in February, you know, and it was just
prepared.
It was just a slow process for me, and I just want to go where I can be a little bit more valued. That's all.
Especially with the content that you're doing, because it's not like you're doing some type of narrative story where it's timeless. You're reporting and talking about things that literally change every minute. Mm-hmm. So you can't really work with an environment that is at a standstill or just like being pushed. But and also to your point with all of these new like apps and digital platforms. So you might remember this, but I work at out of a WeWork office, and it's a bunch of it's basically a shared social office space. And so many companies come and go every 30 days. And it's because people, all these young, like really motivated people, they have a plan, they're excited, they got, you know, great graphics, whatever it is on their image, but they have no way to make money off of it. And it's like, you got to pay people. Yeah. You have to pay for, you know, whatever's in the works. And sometimes doing your first round of funding, even if it's like 5, 10K, just doesn't work.
Yeah, but it's tough. I don't really envy anyone who's trying to create anything from the ground up.
Hell no.
Yeah. Well, anyway, let's totally switch gears. I appreciate all of you guys checking out the show. And I also do want to hear from all of my listeners. And I've had this thing in the past called We Need to Talk. And I put out my email. So it's grantspodrants@gmail.com and on at grants_rants on Twitter, and of course Grants Rants Hollywood Talk on Facebook. So I want to know what parts of the show you're enjoying and what you want to see more of, because like I was telling Allie, like, you know, I gotta keep it moving. I want to keep it really you know, fresh and everything. So I want to know what's resonating with you. And a lot of you have wrote to me on Twitter and in all positive things. But don't be afraid to tell me what you're not feeling either. I can handle it.
Yeah, Grant's not a scary dude. Grant.
I don't fear much.
Good people.
I don't fear much. No way. But let's talk about something a little different. And, you know, we talk a lot of TV on this show. We talk a lot about the fall TV and the shows that are not making it. But, man, The Simpsons is definitely the exception to all the rules.
Yes. I love it. This is so funny that we're talking about The Simpsons, because for Halloween, I was Lisa Simpson. And I painted my entire face yellow, and then I literally painted, like, the cartoon white eyes. And I was in a Simpsons gang walking around Hell's Kitchen in New York. It was like, my dream come true. It was the most amazing thing in the world.
Oh, my God, I love that.
I didn't even want to drink for it because I wanted to remember every moment. Yeah, it was awesome.
Like, I saw the pictures, and I can co-sign that you looked good.
I didn't have a mask. I was like, let's do this.
Yeah, you were all in.
Oh, my God. It's funny, too, because I even painted my legs, and then I ended up wearing yellow leggings. So it was, like, funny to me that I'm like, well, my skin's yellow, so I am Lisa.
yes.
Yeah, so I'm proud of The Simpsons.
Yeah, me too. I mean, I know The Simpsons have had a tremendous impact on your life. I mean, Allie had a Simpsons-themed bathroom, and her icon so on Skype right now is of character on The Simpsons.
Milhouse,
yes. So Milhouse. Definitely, like, it's so funny that we planned to have this podcast, and then I saw that this news broke, this big news, that they're going to have over 669 episodes, season 30, they're going to be renewed to, so they have two more seasons to look forward to, and then, you know, obviously, you know, the future continues, I'm sure, but they've been formally picked up through season 30 and surpassed records.
So amazing. Because so it's cool. Timeless. It's like, it's so crazy the stories that they can come up with. And I rewatched The Simpsons now, think episodes that I watched when I was younger. And it's just like, every joke is different. And oh my God, I just have the utmost respect for them. And I will fight to the death The Simpsons over any other animated comedy. Yeah. Family Guy, South Park. I just love it. And I said this to you. I made a tattoo appointment the day before Thanksgiving. I'm getting Grandpa Simpson tattooed on my leg.
Where on your leg?
So there's my favorite joke of The Simpsons is when Grandpa is yelling at a cloud.
Oh, yes. I've seen that meme.
You've seen it. So I'm getting the cloud on my right leg, and then Grandpa Simpson yelling at it on his left leg, and it was.
I love it. It's so you. I love it.
I can't wait. So, I will tweet it to you when it's done.
Okay, for sure. I got the other tattoo of the light bulb that you sent me.
Oh yeah, that was my first one.
So what is your creative inspiration for getting all of this done?
So literally, like, that's the inspiration, that light bulb that I got. And so I've been like writing down ideas for films and stories and characters for the past maybe 9-10 years. And anytime I have an idea that has to do with film or TV, I literally write that light bulb, and it's like my symbol of, hey, Allie, don't forget you have this idea. And you know me, I'm like super messy. So when
you're,
I like,
you're an idea factory though. You're
yeah,
super creative.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean,
oh, I love that. Yeah, media factory. So then anytime I'm shuffling through like receipts or napkins or any type of piece of paper and I see that light bulb, I'm like, oh yeah, that was a great idea that I need
I
to.
Like it. So it's like a symbol of your brain.
Yeah, yeah, I love it. Yeah.
So for this, going back to The Simpsons, they're airing all of their episodes on FXX starting coming up. I think it's like next month or something. They're airing all the episodes.
And they have their own channel. Did you know that? They have their own channel.
I did not know that.
Yeah. So I used to watch everything on Roku. And then now I watch everything on Smart TV? It's like, oh, Apple TV.
Oh, yeah.
That Greg, my boyfriend, was always using. So they have an FX app, and you can literally watch The Simpsons 24/7. You can watch every freaking episode that's ever been done. You can watch, like, top picks. You can watch all the Treehouse Halloween special episodes. So sometimes I'll literally just leave it on, like, all the time. And it's like the most voices I hear out loud of any other show. So
that is like the perfect channel for you.
I know. So thank you.
Yeah. Do you remember back in the day, there was a contest in Las Vegas. They built the Simpsons house to scale.
And really?
It was like in Henderson, Nevada or something like that. And they had a contest, and you could either get the house or get like cash money for it.
Yeah, I think they wanted people to like guess what was the real Springfield, like what state was Springfield out of, because there's so many Springfield states. Mm-hmm. I could be mixing it up with another thing, but that's a really cool promotion. Yeah. I love that.
There, it was like way back in like the 80s, early 90s. Wow. Look it up on YouTube because it was like they literally had like everyone out, like all the like the full Simpsons cast, like in costume outside of this built house. So it was real. And now I looked it up. This house. So the person who won the contest took the cash and didn't move into the house. So then the contractor sold the house. They repainted it like a blank color. Yeah. But there's still little cartoon things on the house, like little like embellishments and things like that. So if you look closely, like I did like a full like Google Street View, did like Where Are They Now articles, and they like show the house. But it's like a private home in Nevada, but there's a little bit to it, like the door is still round, you know, like there's little things you can see where it once was very Simpsons-esque. It's very interesting.
Why didn't they just keep it? I want to smack that person, whoever ruined it.
I know. Some money-hungry person who just probably didn't even
care. I'm going to look them up. I'm going to Google search that and, like, print out the picture and just make it my desktop photo and hunt them down.
Yes.
No,
real
I won't.
Home.
I'm just kidding.
All right, so that was a real home, but let's talk about someone who might not be too real with the accent. I need to discuss Lindsay and the accent.
Yeah.
Did you see this video?
So strange.
So, you know.
Yeah, she was promoting her club.
Yeah, here's a clip. Here's a clip of how she's talking these days.
You understand that life is bigger than everything that we see. Americans are very close-minded in that sense. I know that because I'm American. I'm Italian-Irish, really. But I think there's... Greek people are very welcoming. Turkish people are very welcoming.
I can't with that.
What do you think of that?
Well, I mean, look... She is a mess, and I'm not surprised. You know, I like to speak in accents sometimes when I'm out having a good time. And, you know, I like to have some fun.
Especially when you have, like, a little drink, it comes out sometimes.
Yes, I think it can be fun. Like, I'm all for the Britney accent that comes out when she's over there. Like, I love it. But this is just so put on to me, and it's like... But I was
trying
laughing.
Too hard.
Yes, but I was laughing because I literally tell myself every episode, like, no more discussing the Lohans. Grant, no one cares.
Yeah, and
no
it
one
always
cares.
Comes out.
It does, and there's always something. And I was like, this, like, I can't abandon her now. This is just too good of a story. And, you know,
I wonder if she knew it was going to get this big. Like, I wonder if, because it was only that one clip. There's not really that much out there
Right.
Focus on it. And it's funny because when I first read the headline, I kind of wanted to defend her because, so you know, I'm from Long Island, moved to California, living basically in Orange County where people say like ya and mod and all the A's are very ah versus New York is very like meh.
Yeah.
Like more nasally. So then when I lived in California, my mom used to make fun of me so much. And then I moved back here. And then now people on the West Coast are like, oh, your accent's back a little bit. But so I, at first I was like, oh, Lindsay, like how long were you there? Like maybe you got confused, but I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. Cause there's clips of her on Snapchat. Cause I follow her on there and she's just like regular Lindsay talking about going to a club,
really?
Or going to a Rolls Royce event. Like she's just like chatting it up in the car.
She can just do whatever she wants.
Yeah.
It's like,
well,
she's the type of person, and like the Jenners, like they can do whatever, and people are gonna write about it.
Yep. Oh yeah. And then she embraces
like,
it. I mean, she tweeted at Daily Mail UK, and she was like, "Oh, what should I call my accent? The Lee Lohan or something like that." Like she knows what she's doing.
And she makes more money every time something like that happens.
Yeah.
She probably is like sitting there with a legal notepad, like, "All right, what should I do on Monday? Like, what shenanigans should I put in front of the press?" And then she tweets everybody at the press like, "Hey, meet me here. I'm going to do something crazy." But
well,
do you remember when she was at Chapman's?
I was not there for that.
She went to the lacrosse game?
I have heard about her at that lacrosse game, and I'm still upset that I was not there for that. I think that was before I transferred in, or maybe I was away.
No, you were there. Well, you were at Chapman, but yeah, maybe you weren't physically there. Oh yeah, it was during a break. Her brother played for Ithaca lacrosse, so everyone was so excited that she showed up, because Chapman, what, is like no more than 5,000 people, and apparently she like was just on her phone the whole time. She wouldn't like take pictures. I mean,
I just need to do some observation work. Now, her mother, my version of Oprah, she says she's defending Lindsay. She's defending Lindsay. And she says, well, Lindsay, she is a worldly person. She taught herself to speak French, Arabic, Hebrew, and the list goes on. She has a very high IQ and is very intelligent and can pick up any language in a minute. She has a gift. Who the hell
Maybe
is this?
Maybe that's just mother syndrome. Like, she could.
I feel like someone like. I flash back to like the old days when I was like young, and we had PBS NewsHour would be on, and there was like a speed reader, and I remember we were all like captivated by the speed reader, and it was like he was like one of like 100 in the world that could read this many words per minute. Like those are people you spotlight for being like a genius. Like I doubt it. Then the father pipes up, and Michael says she picks up languages like I pick up a coffee. Ugh.
Maybe we just have been overlooking that she is a genius.
I mean, the accent was on point when she was in The Parent Trap.
Yes, that's so funny you said that, because I wanted to say that out loud, that I wish we could just go back to Parent Trap days, but...
I know, I love it. But, you know, the whole thing I thought of was, I have a cousin who went to school down south, and then, like, you know, like, she went there, you know, for the fall, and then by Christmas, she came back speaking with a southern accent, like a drawl.
Really?
And I was like, really? Like, real? So I kind of always, like, call BS and all that stuff anyway.
Yeah.
So I'm like, but you know, come on.
You have never changed your accent. Like, I think sometimes it comes out more, but I remember since the day I met you to now.
I don't know what you're talking about. I don't have an accent.
I think you kind of have one.
No, I'm kidding. I definitely do.
I was like, if you don't think you have one, Grant, we should take a poll.
I definitely do.
Does Grant have an accent?
I always say it's a combination between Boston and the Bronx, and there's me in the middle, somewhere in the middle.
That's so true. Yeah, because the Bronx is really, like, heavy.
Yeah.
And wait, what was the other one you said?
Boston.
Oh, yeah, that's true. I think you have a little bit of Long Island in you.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. I feel like that's, like, equivalent to where I grew up.
And guess who's from Long Island?
My girl with the accent.
Lindsay Lohan.
Yes. I love it.
A bunch of crazies.
Yeah, well, like a dialect coach analyzed this. Now, I love when we have to get professionals involved with stuff like this, because it's like these people don't have anything else to do. But a cool article came out, and this dialect coach said basically that they think Lindsay is mirroring, which means you know, you're like trying to sound
copying.
People around you. Yeah, like mimicking, because you want to be able to have, like, you want to empathize with those people. You want them to think that, you know, you're there for them. So, you know, you're trying to relate. And, I don't know. The whole thing just seems like a mess. Here's a quote that I thought was
interesting. Nicki Minaj did the same thing, too. But read the quote. But, yeah, she did the same thing.
This is from broadly.vice.com. And the dialect coach says, either she's spent so much time with ESL people that she's forgotten how her muscles work in her mouth, or she's doing something deliberate.
Maybe she's prepping a role.
Well, I would have more respect for that, you know? Because I love that. If it was an art piece, like, I would be all about it. You know, but
her publicist is like, Lindsay, we got to come up with a story. This is not okay. She's like, what do you mean?
I'm all for an art piece, but if she's just straight up duping people and then going online on Snapchat and talking like you and I, then yeah, you're a mess.
Let's keep watching.
Yes, definitely. Well, you know what? Speaking of watching, I don't know if you have any interest. I really don't. But there's the show Mariah's World on E! Have you heard about this?
I saw that. Yeah, it's basically like her first. Is it her first reality show?
Yeah, it's her first like show.
Yeah, and it sounds like it's a mess. Like, I don't think she is the type of person that should do a reality show. She should just focus on her concerts.
Yeah, you know, even Britney wanted to do a reality show, and everyone I've said that to is like, "Ooh, no, no, don't do it, don't do it."
I mean, I would watch that.
Oh Lord, absolutely.
I don't know. Mariah has this like. I feel like she has such like a golden image that I don't want to see it ruined. Like every time her Christmas song comes on, it like puts everybody in a good mood. I don't want to see her like yelling at her like manager or whatever is going to come out.
Right. Well, the supposedly producers are running scared, according to the Daily Mail. I know nothing. I know nothing up from the set. This is all just from what I've been reading. But so basically, it's following her around. She has a little mini tour in Vegas. Then she, or like a leg of her tour, and then she's planning this wedding to this billionaire. And that's supposed to be a large subplot, quote unquote, that is now completely irrelevant. And, TMZ reported that Packer did something, quote, really bad that involved the assistant. And, you know, I'm just like, I'm rolling my eyes at all this because they announced this show in March of this year. And, you know, they sit on these shows and then they're not relevant anymore. But they're supposed to be based on reality. And so it's like, you know.
They're not. You know, they can't. From a production perspective, it's like that's so many hours of footage. And if it's, I don't know, I'm not sticking up for reality shows. It's just like, to me, this is what the business is. They do the subplots, unfortunately, so they know that there's going to be some type of thing to like make people watch it.
Mm-hmm. But now it's a complete waste because the wedding is
off. Oh, God.
So it's like, that's a lot of money and time and promotion. Ugh. So, I mean, it is what it is. But, I mean, I don't know. I feel like you sit on these shows too long, and then you definitely risk someone dying, something going wrong, or, you know, like a marriage being called off. It's all very real things that could happen. And, you know.
Yeah, it gets so twisted with reality.
And look at something like Celebrity Apprentice. Now, they recorded that show about a year ago. About exactly a year ago, the end of last year, beginning of this year, and it's still not on, and it's not going to be on until January. Yeah, and so it's like, you know, you it's hard with unscripted to sit on something for that long.
And but I guess to the producers, oh my God, it sounds like I'm sticking up for reality shows, but I'm just looking at it from, I guess, like the business perspective of it, like why it works for them and why people keep doing it. It's like, we learned this in college, it's like so cheap to make. Yeah. So if something doesn't work, like the whole wedding being called off with Mariah, then they spin something else up or they like, you know, or they turn it into a plot. Like, it's sick. Like, it's sad, but...
See, here's my problem with all this, though, from the network perspective, is that these networks don't take into account online buzz anymore. When Celebrity Apprentice was taping, there was full-on blogs, pictures from the set. Like, they were all out public. You know, they were on Santa Monica Pier. They were out in the streets. So there was a lot of, like, tweeting and Instagramming and, like, pictures. And so there's so much buzz. Now flash forward to, like, 365 days later when no one cares that they saw Kyle Richards.
Cares.
You know what I mean? Like, no one cares. So it's like, and then even with the Mariah thing, they started announcing that in March. They had the full thing when they had upfronts. She came out, men carried her. It was a big deal.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
And it's like, okay, well, you know, what are we going to do with all this buzz, you know?
I know.
It's like, that's a good thing to put at the bottom of a Deadline article, like E! Announces show with Mariah Carey. But, like, you know, you've got more than that now with social media, so the buzz dies down. So I don't see how you continue to set up these things. Yeah.
No, they got to keep it moving. You know what it reminds me of? Did you see that show Blood Mirror?
I did.
It's... seriously, well, like, it's all about reality.
Isn't it Black Mirror?
What did I say?
Blood Mirror.
Oh, wait, is it?
Yeah, it's Black Mirror on Netflix.
Black Mirror.
Yeah.
That's, you're right. But Black Mirror, it's like, do you ever see The Twilight Zone? Do you ever watch an episode of The Twilight Zone?
Because
it's our version of that. And it's funny because now Black Mirror... every episode, some way, takes technology and social media into perspective. And it's so crazy, like, how kind of true it is.
Yeah, I mean, for those of you who don't know, it's an anthology series. It's a different cast and different story each episode. And it's like, yeah, it takes place in all different locations and time periods.
Different
realities.
People, yeah.
It's really an interesting show. It originated in the UK. I love UK programming.
Me
love
too. So smart.
So smart. So now it's on Netflix. Definitely encourage you guys to check it out if you're on there because it's just an interesting watch. It makes you think. It really does.
Start with episode one. Because for some reason...
I watched that episode. Oh my God, I had so much anxiety watching that show.
I know. It was really hard to watch. But I say start with episode one because sometimes Netflix prompts you to watch... like a different season. Yeah. Like when I first logged into it, I think it had me to watch an episode is maybe the most recent one on season three.
That's
but
what it did with me.
Oh, jeez. Yeah, that was tough to watch. Yeah. But yeah, that's something I'm watching. But I only got three episodes done, so I have to do season two and three. I'm excited.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to keep watching because I need something like that. I need something that's smart and a little dark. Like, I watch a lot of, obviously, I watch a lot of reality TV. And
yeah.
You know, I watch a lot of Wendy Williams and stuff in the background.
She's
but
funny.
But I need some, like, a little, like, I need to go back. I miss Downton Abbey. Like, I need to kind of class it up a little bit.
You're listening to Grant's Rants. Please rate, subscribe, and share. Spread the word. There are a lot more rants to come. Listen anytime on all major podcasting platforms. And now, back to the show.
And we're back talking with filmmaker and good friend of mine from a long way away, Allie DelFranco.
What up?
So I really want to talk to you about the projects that you're doing, but also I want to talk a lot about your story and really more about everything that you do, like the personal projects, the projects for freelance. Like, there's just so much that we can talk about. So this is a really good episode. So let's get into it. Obviously, we met out here in Orange County originally, and then good friends in LA. You were out here for a while. We were hustling side by side out here.
Yeah.
And for a while, and then, you know, you've made the move, and I'm just dying to hear about your perspective from making the move, because we've had this conversation one-on-one.
All the
and
time.
I know it was like a lot of like, oh, I don't know what to do. Like, I don't know where I should be, but I feel like I have to be back east, but I just don't know what I should do. And I struggle with the same thing in certain ways, not currently, but at the beginning of this year. And as we discussed at the end of last year, I was pretty much thinking like, this is it. Like, I'm going to make the move. But life put me in a different direction, so I'm here for the time being. But we've always been able to relate on that pull back east.
Yeah, and I think this is a topic that people in New York have, you know, debates about moving to LA versus same thing that we do, like people in LA moving to the East Coast. Mm-hmm. And for me, I was started college at St. John's University in Queens, and I just was drawn to entertainment. I just didn't know like how I wanted to do it. I was dating this guy who was a filmmaker in the skateboard community, and I like wanted to learn like editing and filming so bad, and like he was an asshole and he like wouldn't teach me, so I was like, screw that, I'm gonna like try and make it at St. John's. So I remember wanting an internship at NBC Universal. You'll appreciate this story. So I like borrowed my mom's slacks. I like had a, like a button-up shirt that didn't fit me. I took the subway to Manhattan. I went to 30 Rock. I printed my resume. This is like how naive I was. I printed my resume. I literally walked to 30 Rock, and I tried like going through the turn whatever thing. And the security woman stopped me, and she's like, do you have an appointment? I'm like, no. I was like, no, I'm here to see NBC HR. Oh, yeah, this was before it was NBC Universal. I was like, yeah, I'm here to see NBC HR. She's like, you can't do that. I'm like, yeah, but I like, want an internship. And she obviously turned me away, and then I did more research. I just thought it was so funny. Like,
yeah.
It was such an ambitious move, but it was...
How young were you?
I was a freshman, so I was, I don't know, like 18, 19. So then, That was, like, the first move I did that was just putting myself out there. And then I applied to Chapman University because they had the television program and an advertising program, because I knew I still wanted to do some type of business. So I didn't have any money. I didn't even tell anyone that I applied. My mom, I think, got the letter, and she called me, and she's like, you got accepted at Chapman University. What is going on? Oh. And I told my dad, and I was so, like, excited. I'm like, I really want to, you know, visit the campus. Like, this is my dream. Like, I got to do this. My dad gave me, I think, like, $1,000 cash. And he said, as long as I went with somebody, I could visit the school. I texted everyone. But, like, who at 18 years old is going to just be able to go to Los Angeles literally the next day? Like, yeah. This is how, you know me, like, I'm very sporadic. I got my cousin Sean to go. He snuck out of his house at like 3-4 a.m. We had a 6 a.m. flight. We literally flew to LA, no plan. We like somehow managed to rent a car with cash under 25 years old. You're supposed to be 25. It was just insane. But I, like, went to Chapman. I fell in love. I saw the palm trees. I saw the brand new film school. And it's, like, you know, when you first saw it, you were probably, like, in shock. It's beautiful.
I mean, everything is so manicured and new.
So new.
And it's,
yeah.
Like, it just is the picture.
So prestigious looking.
It's the picture of what you think, like, an Orange County private school would look like.
Oh, my God.
So
and
it's, like, you're captivated by it for sure.
It was I loved it. So I immediately was like, I'm doing this. So I mean, from like a financial perspective, I went from having a scholarship at St. John's. So it was only $9,000 a year to Chapman, which was $50,000 a year. So thank God I had still a scholarship, but it wasn't as big. So it was hard, but I didn't care. I was like, whatever, like student loans are nothing. I'll pay it back. So I went to Chapman. I like loved it. Like I loved just jumping in every like TV class and film and screenwriting class. I got, my first internship at, National Banana, which was Jerry Zucker's comedy production company. And that was the best thing that I did when I got out there. I like learned so much from, this like small, just group of really talented people, mostly production and comedian experience. And Jerry Zucker, who was like, he directed so many great films, and he wrote Airplane, he directed Rat Race, he directed Ghost, he produced My Best Friend's Wedding. Oh my God, yeah, I love Rat Race. Just so many things. And he was so ahead of his time because he actually was doing web series like almost like 10 years ago. It was insane. And I just, you know, so many people put me under their wing. Like, I learned casting, and I got to do, like, script supervising right next to Jerry. So I learned so many directing tips, which I still use today. Like, I learned from him, instead of just saying action, he would go and action to, like, let everybody prep and to give actors just more time to get in the zone. Mm-hmm. So it's so fun. I learned so many things.
Would you say that he was one of your mentors?
Oh, yeah. Like, that's another thing, too. When I was in L.A., I met so many great people. And I think people in L.A. are very afraid, especially when people are more higher up, like, I guess, more celebrity status, to ask for things, which is true. Like, you shouldn't ask for things. What I learned is it's okay to ask to learn things. Like, I would always ask to, like, shadow people, or can I, listen in on this meeting, like, things like that. People really appreciate, because everybody was at some point, like, had to start somewhere. So, like, Jerry Zucker was a big influence. He got me my first video camera as to work on a project, so that I helped just, like, film some interviews to get more research of the movie Friends with Benefits. So, like, things like that were just such a great experience. I learned from a producer, Sean Gazelle. He produced a lot of things, and, like, Fair Game was one thing he helped produce. I remember something he told me that I still think of today. He was like, it's going to take you, like, 10 years. And Robert McKee said this too in writing.
I've heard
that
too.
It's such a nice feeling, because it's just more of a feeling of you shouldn't rush. Like, I feel like a lot of people are always hustling, but to the point where they have to spit out a project they're working on and rush it. Like, I think it's so important to, like, experience life and to put those experiences into your work.
Yeah.
And that's, like, why I love living in New York City, because I feel like when I was living in LA, I got trapped in that LA world, where every time you meet someone, it's like, oh, what are you working on? What are you working on? Like, oh, I'm working on this web series, or, oh, I'm writing this feature. And it was, like, never would talk about anything other than entertainment. And it was this bubble, and I was so sick of it. And, like, that's what really influenced me to move back to New York. I sit on a subway and I'd take out my notebook and have, like, 10 ideas in, like, 10 minutes.
I love that.
Yeah, so that was a big thing. And, you know, sometimes I got bad advice. Like, I remember somebody told me, back to what we were initially talking about, is you have to be in LA to work in entertainment. Like, you have to be here. And I remember being so disheartened by that. And they were wrong. Like, since I've been in New York, I've been so creative and, like, meeting people. Alana Glazer is one of, like, my biggest, mentors and people, woman I look up to. She's such a badass. And she's, you know, taken time out to, like, read some things that I've done over the past, like, 5 years, or helped me once in a while get, like, a gig or recommend me and things like that. I don't know. It doesn't matter where you live, as long as you have the talent and the passion and the work, like, you put the time in to work your ass off to do something, it's like you could be in Alabama.
I totally agree. I think it's all about the effort that you put into whatever you want to do. I really don't think that anyone has to be living here. It's easy if you want to take a meeting, or it's probably more likely that you might bump into someone that you'd like to meet here, but that doesn't really guarantee anything either. With the power of the internet and the power of the connections and the mentors and the foundation that you've built to escalate yourself where you are, you don't really, I mean, I think being in a major city is enough. You know what I mean?
Oh my God, yeah. And it's like, that directing job that I recently got, and I got two projects out of that, directing a Kickstarter video. It's for the Body Pause project. And then I filmed their launch party. That doesn't really have anything to do with, like, narrative or, I don't know, like, the films or web series I was used to in LA. That was it's like a body empowering women Instagram site. That's nothing that I would have gotten the opportunity to do in LA, and it's different. And yeah, things like that are just I don't know, more experiences. And since I've been living in New York, I'm always in a class. I'm always taking a night class, where is another way to meet people. I took a sketch class at the Magna Theater under Armando Diaz, who was a really big influence in improv world in Chicago at Second City.
Right.
They have an improv method named after him, the Armando Diaz experience or something. And now I'm in a photography class because I was on set and I realized how much I didn't know about lighting and just working my camera. So I'm in that class right now.
I will say, for as long as I've known you, you've always taken a class, even if it was an improv class. You've always been enrolled in something.
And I always will, like, till I'm 7 years old. Painting, cooking, I don't care. Like, I need to be learning and staying busy. So that's a big influence. And to your point before about the power of the internet, like, it doesn't really matter who you know, I think. I always, and my boyfriend can testify to this, anytime I see something that I love, I reach out to the person and I let them know. Like, we saw the film Other People, mm-hmm. and I was so brought to every emotion that you could possibly feel that I Facebook messaged the writer. I Facebook messaged him, and he was an example of someone who didn't write back, but that's okay. Like, I just wanted to let him know, hey, you did this piece of work and I appreciated it.
Yeah, it compelled you to reach out and make the effort. See what I mean by the effort?
You have to do that.
Yeah, and, that's wonderful. Don't you feel frustrated sometimes, though, when you see people that you just know, like, oh, we could so connect. Like,
I know.
You know, you see people in interviews or you read people and they just get it. And it's like, oh, man, I wish I could just, like, spend, like, 10 minutes to connect with you. And I know we'd be friends.
I know.
It's so frustrating to try because, like, some of these people, they're just really untouchable. Some of these people don't have websites. They don't have anything besides a Twitter handle. And then it's all public. And it just looks like you're kissing someone's ass in 140 characters. So
let them find you, maybe. Like, I love the Broad City story where Alana and Abby created the web series. And I think they put out more than 20 or 25 episodes. And their goal was to get it in front of Amy Poehler, and Amy Poehler already saw the show. Like, I think that's something I learned too, is when I was living in LA, my big goal was, like, I need to get an agent. Like, I need a manager. Like, I have so much work. Like, I need to be represented and, you know, I'm ready to pitch and all that. And, mm-hmm. and something I learned was from one of my mentors is, no, like, if you're talented enough, they'll find you. And I think that's something that a lot of people in LA will never follow that rule, but I think it's so true. And that's also to my rule of don't ask people for things. If you have a script, don't shove it in people's faces. Like, wait for them to ask you, oh, can I read that? And for an example, like, Skeleton Twins is probably one of the films that I could watch that 10 times in a row, and I just respected the dialogue and the characters and everything. I reached out to the writer and the director, Craig Johnson, and he is such an amazing guy, and he wrote back to me. I asked him if he could help me with just, like, writing questions. He was, giving me advice on outlining, and it was just, I don't know, like, that's something that I wouldn't message him and be like, hey, Craig, can you read my feature? Like, I would never do that. I don't know. But maybe that's just, like, a personal thing. But, yeah, I think it's, like, to that theme of, like, focus on what you're doing and what you want and allow people that are maybe, like, more experienced or talented than you to teach you things, but don't use people.
No, that's smart advice because it makes you stand out, too. In front of everybody else. Because, yeah, like you said, everyone's got this. Everyone just wants, like, to get to the point. They think that they don't need to do the work because their writing is so good. They don't need to do any of the social building, you know. There's so many egos.
Yeah.
They don't want to put in the work.
Oh, it's so true. And it's like, I think something also, too, that was different when I lived in L.A. and New York is when I lived in L.A., I got caught in, like, improv and, like, sketches. Like, everything I did was just, like a one-off joke in a way. And I'm so proud of all that. Like, we worked on Bride and Maybe, and that was a 9-minute comedy parody of a reality show about a wedding planner who was planning these three brides. And it wasn't like relatable really, because the brides were so insane, but it was funny, right? Like, it was like a fun idea. Okay. But since I moved back to New York, everything that I do is so much more personal, and I love it. Like, I'm starting to experience more of writing more like personal things and darker things, like less like jokey. And it's gonna, I'm not rushing it. Like, I'm working on this digital series called Swing, and it's about a girl that finds out that she's bipolar. And a lot of that came from personal experiences, and I'm not like throwing deadlines on it. I'm like, I'm still experiencing this now, and I want to, you know, like, take my time with it and make it my new baby. And it's tough to write, because dark comedy is hard, and that's why I appreciate Skeleton Twins and Better Things so much, is because it's like, you still want to make people laugh, but you want to make people feel emotion at the same time. And it was such good timing where Friday night I didn't have anything to do, and I was looking at Today Ticks, which is an app that gives you discounts to plays in New York. I think it's also in Chicago and LA. But anyway, I'm scrolling down, and I'm cheap. So I'm looking at like the more off-Broadway stuff, and I see Chris Gethard's show Career Suicide on it. And he's in Broad City. I remember his name being thrown out a lot as like a great comedian. He's got his own show, on Fusion. So I went, and it was unbelievable. It was so like personal and honest, and it wasn't anything I thought. I thought it was going to be more of like a dark comedy, but more just laugh, you know, just like laughing at him. But it was so personal about his like experiences with being suicidal and depression. And oh my God, I was sitting in the front row, like, made a lot of eye contact. I got his book, and he signed it before handing it out. I was so moved where I went up to the guy selling t-shirts. I was like, hey, does he usually stay after to take pictures or sign playbills? And the guy was like, like, not really. Sometimes. So I was like, okay. So I got in touch with the woman who is getting everybody seated, and I asked her, I was like, hey, is there any way that I can have Chris sign my playbill? So she's like, hold on, he has some guests in the back, let me like find out. So she said, she kept telling me to wait. I waited maybe more than 30 minutes. I didn't care. Like, I didn't have anything else going on. I just wanted to shake his hand. And he came out, and he literally talked to me for 15 minutes, just like listening to my feedback and how much I appreciated it. And I was just so like, hey, like, this is a really hard thing to write, and I appreciate that you put yourself out there. And he was so sweet. He signed my playbill. He said, Allie, thanks for coming, and I can't wait to see the things you make. And it was just like,
wow,
such a great moment.
Oh, that is such like a fulfilling moment,
right?
For you, for sure. I know what that must mean to you.
Oh my God, I was smiling so hard on the subway.
Oh, I love that. That's like such a perfect situation.
No, it was so perfect.
Everything, I feel like all the projects you work on are based really in reality, and then you find the funny around it.
Yeah, or you find
you angle it, but it's all, everything that you do is very true to life.
Thank you.
It's very true to life. And I really encourage you all to check out her projects. Let's talk a little bit about those projects that you're working on.
I finished that feature a couple months ago, Get In, and that is totally like 90% based on a real experience where It's about a divorced father that kidnaps his own children and takes them on a road trip from the Bronx to Florida. And that happened when I was in high school. I would see my dad on the weekends in the Bronx because my parents are divorced. And he just saw that we were all, like, bored, you know, every weekend. You want to be out with your friends. You want to go to parties. You don't want to sit in a freaking apartment in the Bronx playing solitaire and on an old computer. So we wanted breakfast, so we all got in the car in our pajamas. We were driving to McDonald's, and then he just kept driving, and we literally drove to Florida. And it was like it was a funny experience, and that's where I write like how I live life. Like you were saying, you gotta find the funny angle, or life could be depressing. It's just like, you know, I don't know. So, so that's a feature I wrote. So I don't know how I'm going to get it financed. I kind of just want to shoot a scene of it. But that's something I'm really proud of.
Talk to me about the short Gossip Gals.
Yeah, that was so fun. So that was the first project that I filmed when I first moved to New York City, other than short sketches. And Gossip Gals is a comedy short paralleling teenagers today and how older people are basically one in the same. And it starts off with these two teenagers sipping over iced coffee, gossiping about guys and, like, you know, girls and all that. And one of the girls gets a call from her grandmother. So she picks up the phone, and then she gets all cute, like, "Hi, Grandma." And the grandma's all sweet. "Oh, like, just want to check up on my sweetie." Grandma hangs up the phone, and then it cuts to the grandma and her best friend, and they're gossiping about, like, this guy and this, like, you know, girl that's going around the neighborhood. And that's where I did a lot of research on, like, old school gossip from Brooklyn. Like, this is such a Grant project. You're going to like it.
I think so.
I'm excited.
I think so.
So that was fun because I got to do casting, and I casted 70-year-old women plus.
I would love to be in on
funny.
That.
Oh my God, the auditions are hysterical. There's this one woman I'll never forget. She walked in, red purple hair with a cane, so much costume jewelry. Like, she was in a tracksuit, like, with triangle patterns. And she walked in and she's like, "I'll tell you something. It took me 25 minutes to get here. And my taxi driver didn't know where he was going. And am I getting paid for this? I mean, you should pay me $20 for the taxi." Like, she was hysterical. And then...
Where in New York is she from? Is she from, like, City Island?
She's got... Oh, that's so funny you know that. The island off the Bronx. She had to be from Brooklyn. But I think that those were my favorite auditions. And also because I accidentally put in the wrong address in the... Oh my God, they were flipping out. Can you imagine, like, 70-year-old woman showing up at a dress, and then I texted everybody and sent them an email an hour before the auditions, and one woman called me, and she's like, "You're a disgrace. Like, you're not going to make it in this industry." And I was like, "Sorry," and she didn't show up. But anyway, it was great.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's cool.
It was a good perspective.
I love that.
Because it was like,
I knew you'd be perfect for this show because you have a million stories. Mm-hmm. You have equally as many ideas going on in your
head. Too many.
And you have the experience. Like, Allie has never, that's why I've always been able to relate to her. She's never had stars in her eyes about, like, this business. She knows how it's run, and she knows how to make it work for her. So she's perfect for Grant's Rants. Perfect for this
show. Love it. Oh my God, I love Grant's Rants. Grant's Rants.
God, we talked about doing that, like,
right?
We talked about doing it as a comedy special.
Way back.
Grant's Rants.
Initially.
Way back. Grant's Rants has always been something.
But remember Grant's Rants? You were going to do it, like, ranting on not people, but, like, a thing. So I remember we were joking around, like, okay, Grant's Rants, every episode you pick an, like, some type of object or something random, and you rant about it. So you were going to do, like, all right, Grant, like, you're going to rant about, like, cats. Like, oh, it was just so funny and different. But this, now I can't believe how far you got it and, like, how many followers and outlets, and everything is so professional. And I always knew you were going to be like a big shot, run Hollywood. And I'm excited to see where you go. Like,
me too.
You're going to do crazy.
We'll see where we go. I certainly hope so.
Yeah. You work your butt off, and it shows. And yeah, I'm excited.
As do you, my friend.
Cheers.
Yes, cheers to that. So, Allie, where can we find you or keep up with your projects?
My website is www.alisondelfranco.com.
Wonderful.
Yep, AlisonDelFranco. And my Instagram is Delfranco, you know.
And you can find that information beneath this episode as well. Thank you for supporting Grants
Rants
and continuing to listen to us.
You're the best.
You are too. Thank you so much. And I will be seeing you in New York coming up.
Yeah, bring your jacket.
We'll be back. Oh, I know. We'll be back with more rants. We've got a great rest of the year all planned out. We've got some panels coming, one for Thanksgiving, which is going to be great. And then I'm already planning our end of the year holiday episode. So there's a lot to come here on the rants. Thank you for listening. We'll see you coming up. More rants to come.
Adios.
This has been Grants Rants. Follow us on Twitter at Grants_Rants. Cover art created by Howie Rone. Voiceover by Blake V. Media. Original theme music composed by Alexander Arntzen.